Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In the Loop, episode 13 with Fred Landry and Lopez right here on Sports Radio 610. Follow Sports Radio 610 on Facebook. Listen to the podcast. Mad Radio had Lance McCullers on today, just like they do every single Thursday. We thank you very much for your time. We thank you very much for giving us your ears for just a little bit of time. We will continue to get better and better as episode 13 rolls on.
Damn right we will. Thank you, Landry. John Lopez, Fred Davis. 20 years ago today, Michael Jordan, who is the real GOAT, I don't care what anybody says, hit the go-ahead basket over Byron Russell for the Bulls' sixth championship.
Offensive foul.
Hey, man, that was the rules back then.
It was a push-off, but I don't know if it was an offensive foul. It wasn't an offensive foul. They didn't call it.
Yeah. And it was just like a brush aside. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just gave him a little more momentum going to that direction, and, well, the rest is history.
And that fraud, Karl Malone, couldn't hold on to the ball on the other end of the court, got it slapped away.
Was that Michael or Scotty that stole it from him?
Nah, it was Michael. Michael slapped that right out of his hands and then went over there and hit the dag.
Yeah, he did. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. He sure did. And, again, that's why he is and will always be the greatest of all time. LeBron is, and I can't remember who I heard say this, is the Wilt Chamberlain of this generation. I'm okay with that.
I could tell you an urban myth about that.
You told us that, and but you know what? I'll tell you. Well, I heard another one too.
You did?
I heard one similar to that.
You did?
You know who I heard his dad was?
Who?
Charles Oakley.
Really?
And if you look at the two of them together, there is a frightening similarity.
And Charles Oakley is from Cleveland.
He's from the land.
I'm just saying.
It's funny though, and I don't know if I said this before, but I might have been telling my dad about this. But you know, they asked Charles Oakley, "What's the difference between, or you know, what are the similarities between Jordan and LeBron?" He said, "Outside of being freakish athletes, that's it." He said, "There's zero. Zero other similarities between the two of them." And the other thing he said, which warmed my heart a little bit, was that while LeBron likes to be known for what he does for the community, Michael has done more for communities that no one will ever know about.
I believe that, too.
I also heard Michael was a Piru gang member, so. And I believe that. I don't know why. There's just maybe I just like urban legend, fact, conspiracy type stuff, which I do. But there's just something about the idea that Michael Jordan is a Piru gang member that just warms my heart a little bit.
So 20 years ago today.
He hit the shot.
I can tell you exactly where I was.
Where were you?
Because I looked it up as we're talking here.
Where was John Lopez on June 14th, 1998?
It's a total humble brag, but I wanted to make sure that this is where I was because you made me think. I was in, let me see if I can get it right here. I can't find the stadium.
Were you at the game?
No. I was in Parc des Princes in Paris, France.
Oh, look at you.
Germany 2, USA 0 at the 1998
World Cup. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Okay.
June 14th, 1998.
So did you watch the, were you able to watch the game or were you covering the soccer game instead?
I was covering every game that I was there.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. Was there a game going on at that day?
That day.
Okay. So you
that
had,
day, Germany 2, US 0, June 14th, 1998 at Parc des Princes in Paris.
And I guess there's a little bit of a time difference, so.
Probably a little ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
The date 20 years ago, I went, you know, I think I was in. So I had to look it up.
John Lopez.
That's pretty cool.
John Lopez, kicking it in France. Where were you at on June 14th, 1998?
I was in my living room, sitting on my fireplace, watching the game. Old school. That's just an old school fireplace. I was watching it.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you were, how old would you have been at that time?
No 13? Idea. I was young, dude. But I can remember games like in detail from a young age. It's really kind of strange.
It's very Rain Man-ish.
I was always the guy, the kid that would be watching the game. Like I would be, excited for the game the whole time. But yeah. I remember, I can tell you every Jordan moment from the Phoenix championship on. That's about where my memory goes. And then you just study the rest.
That's it. And everything changes after that. Real quick, too, just a quick side note. The U.S. Open starts today, and it is actually just gobbling people up so far through the first round.
Rory was, at one point I looked up, he was 11 over.
I have it right now. There's some big names at the bottom of the board. Rory McIlroy tied at 99th at plus 10. Jason Day, plus 9. Jordan Spieth, plus 8. Bubba Watson, plus 7. Phil Mickelson, plus 7. And Ricky Fowler, plus 3, which doesn't look so bad given what we just mentioned. So a lot of people are struggling here. And if you know anything about the U.S. Open, that's what they prefer. They want you to struggle out there on the golf course.
Of course, we all know who Scott Piercy is. He's one of the leaders in the clubhouse right now at negative one, at one under. Sergio Garcia also tied for the lead at one under. And of course,
he's amazing.
Who, Sergio?
Yeah.
He just keeps on plugging along, man. Mm-hmm. That guy, he really is, now that you mention it. And of course, our boy Tiger Woods, y'all, who is, to me, the greatest golfer of all time.
Second best.
He will tee off here in approximately, I think he's getting ready to tee off right now.
Yeah, 12:47 is when Tiger's going to tee off. You're talking about iconic moments. I get chills just thinking about this. But I was at Tiger's last major at Torrey Pines.
The one he won?
The last one he won with Rocco. And I watched him chip in on 17 because I was sitting behind the 18 tee box. He chipped in. You remember the fist bump where he got pumped? Walked towards me, teed off, and then I just followed him and watched him sink the putt to send it to the playoff.
Yeah.
It was like a larger-than-life experience at that point. I don't know if it's cheapened because he's fallen off as much as he did, but in that moment, thought you were watching the guy that was going to win. He was gonna kill Jack's record, but in that moment, that's the most iconic thing I've ever seen, like right in front of me.
Okay, no, that's a good one though. That's you didn't realize at that time that that'd be the last major he'd win. Because right now, that is the last major he won.
Right.
I still believe, and I know, and I get it. Soccer, golf's in a better place right now. There's more competition, but you know, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I think the one thing about American sports is whether we can say as much as we want about how having the same teams year after year is a bad thing, but we love it. I mean,
he just transcended the game in so many different ways. At the same time, I think it's great that there are so many players that are younger that were inspired by Tiger that are just clearly better than him now.
They're better than him, but they're better than him now because of everything he's gone through and how his body's basically broken down before our eyes.
I actually think they're playing collectively better golf. At his peak, of course. Outside of Jack, nobody did. I'm just saying, you know, collectively, he should be proud of what he's got. He's got guys that are.
Oh no, this is the Tiger. This is the Tiger Revolution that started because of him. But at the same time, I'm talking about, and I know the ratings are up for most places, but I just feel like as a sport, and maybe it's because I did watch the Tiger. You know, I grew up during the Tiger, and that's what got me into golf in the first place. That and my grandpa playing it. But I just, you know, you had what, like 15 different guys in a row win a major over the last 4 years. I mean, there's been no back-to-back two-time winners except for like when Rory won.
But the courses are getting harder and longer.
Spieth or whatever.
The courses are getting harder and longer, and the scores are getting lower. I think that's a credit to Tiger that he's inspired that much better golf across the board. That's not just two or three guys. Even during Jack's era, and I still think Jack
played in the best era,
is the best golfer in history.
Yeah.
But you had like five guys. Yeah, Jack, Gary Player, Lee Trevino, Tom Watson, and, you know, fill in the blank. You know, I don't know.
Nick Faldo.
He was a little bit after that.
Sir Faldo. The
Faldo was with, that was going to be my next example.
Yeah.
The next example was you had Greg Norman.
The Shark.
Greg Norman, Faldo, the German guy that was here. What's his name? Anyway.
Parnovic?
No, Parnovic's Swedish, I think. But anyway, you had... You had another four or five guys.
Right.
Then you had Tiger clearly above the next generation of about another four or five guys.
Yeah.
Right now you got 20 guys that can win any Sunday.
Is that good though?
Yes.
I was gonna say, I don't know that that's good.
I think that's
good.
See,
I see what you're saying because it gives more, you know, it's better. But at the same time, like, okay, who's the guy from Houston that won it? Patrick Reed? Okay, he's great. All right. But before he won the Masters, unless you're a diehard golfer, did you know who he was?
I couldn't stand him. I hate everybody who's not Tiger.
I love the fact.
I'm a Tiger. I'm a Tiger guy.
I am too.
I'm all Tiger. And if Tiger's in contention this weekend, my plans are set.
Oh,
it's over. If he's not, I'm going to be doing my Sunday stuff. I'm going to be doing my Saturday stuff, and maybe I'll catch the final 18 or the final two holes or something like that. I'm a Tiger guy. It's an A-list event when Tiger's in it, but when he's not, he's gone. And that's where the argument comes. How much did he really do? He obviously did a lot for the game, but I'm not alone in this, in that I only watched golf because of Tiger Woods. And now, if Tiger Woods isn't there, I really don't have but that much interest.
That's not what I'm saying. That he was the best. At his peak, he was Shaq.
Right.
You know.
He was more than Shaq.
Whatever. At his peak, he was that much better than everybody else. What I'm saying is Spieth, Fowler, Jason Day, Johnson.
Bubba Watson.
The level of play that's similar to Tiger now is 20 deep.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, it's one deep.
You're right. Like, better athletes are playing golf because of Tiger. So I'm not saying he didn't impact the game. I'm not even disagreeing with you, Lopez. I'm just saying that if guys like me now only watch it if Tiger's there, then 10 years from now, how much did Tiger impact the game to the fringe guys like me? Did they stay around, or were they so loyal to Tiger that they just lose interest in golf?
You'll stick around. Here's the deal. Because Tiger's still in it and he's made a quasi-resurgence here, especially this year, and he's had a few Tiger moments where, what was it, a couple months ago.
He might this weekend.
Ago.
Who knows?
Well, that's the thing. Like, if Tiger's back in the contention, and here's the reality. If Tiger could putt, we'd be talking about it. I mean, this year would have a totally different vibe to it. I mean, hell, he could have won last week if he'd have just been able to knock down some putts. If he can knock down some putts,
that's the last thing
today,
to arrive, though, man.
Right?
That's the last thing to arrive.
Tiger's going to win another major. I don't think there's any question about it. I think Tiger, if his body.
I hope so.
If his body can. Here, because it all comes down to this. You're right. Listen, he's hitting good off the tee.
His irons are ridiculous.
His irons are insane right now. Yeah. It's just, can he get the putting back? And if Tiger, I'm telling you right now, if Tiger starts putting again, cancel Christmas, boys and girls. It's going to be on and popping. And that's going to carry us through till football season. All right, Tiger
Woods. My only question would be shoot a drop. Because I mean, he's had multiple back surgeries, knees, and all that. And
when's it start happening again?
Yeah, when's it going to, you know. How long can he be?
Until the HGH runs out. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, if you don't think Tiger was on PEDs back in the day, you're tripping. Mm-hmm. Tiger looked like a linebacker during his prime.
Yeah, he did.
He was doing military workouts.
That's when everything started to go. Did you ever read that article?
Yeah, I did.
From ESPN?
Yeah, he was a weirdo, man.
Tiger is... Dude, you're banging Perkins waitresses and you're Tiger Woods, okay? Like, he would get with porn stars and not even bleep them. Just hang out and talk. He's that guy. He's that guy in the strip club. All right?
I think I know a couple like that.
Everybody knows a couple like that.
He wants to get to know them.
Yeah.
Wants to help them out and their kid in junior college.
Seriously. I wrote a story in college about a Mormon stripper, and that's how she made a lot of her money. She would sit there and talk to old guys for like 4 hours at a time, come home with like a grand.
Good work, man.
Damn right. Of course, we're bearing the lead. She's a Mormon stripper, which her parents weren't too happy when they found that out. But hey, another story for another day. Landry Locker in the house. That's John Lopez. I'm still that dude, Freddie D. Final night of the program coming up. When we come back, we will take a trip around the National Football League. Now the minicamp is over. Who in the world was holding out, and will these contracts? We'll do a quick yay or nay. Do these guys get new contracts before training camp starts? And we'll take a trip into the locker room. Landry and I had a bonding moment last night without actually being together. What does that mean? Stick around. We'll tell you next time.
My name is Mark Ryan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.